Welcome to Sunday Conversation. It's Janae Renee.
And this is Teddy Reese.
What's going on with you, Teddy Reese?
Oh, I'm doing well. Just watching this weather. You know, there's another storm potentially on the way here.
I heard that.
It's churning in the Gulf right now. And I just want everybody to be careful and be prepared. And you know,
I'm over these storms. And
this has been a hurricane season to remember. You hear me?
And I've never really experienced, you know, I'm from St. Louis, so we get the snow. We don't really get hurricanes and stuff like that.
We get flooding sometimes.
Not really in the metro, St. Louis. Right, outer areas, that's like, you know, an hour from me or something like that. So I never really experienced these hurricanes.
Because I think it's in St. Louis where the Missouri and the Mississippi River come together, isn't it?
But it stays level where it's supposed to stay.
They got enough flood.
We don't have, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We won't have them problems in the downtown St. Louis. We won't have them. Now they having some problems right now.
We ain't gonna flood St. Louis.
We ain't gonna mess with the arch. Now the snow comes in, it may take over for a few days.
Well,
but you know,
I understand that. But these storms, you know, they have had a major impact on the United States this year already. You know, with Harvey in Houston and Maria in Puerto Rico. Yeah. You know, and Irma coming up, just devastating Key West and coming up the peninsula of Florida and coming into Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had some people in Georgia without power for weeks, you know, so.
And we also hosted, you know, people that fled from Florida
and Texas
and places
like that.
We had
a lot of amazing volunteers. Let me give a shout out to our first responders, our law enforcement officers and staff at the Civic Center and volunteers all across this city
who stepped up.
People like Lauren Chambers, who did a wonderful job in making sure that young professionals were involved in the process, make sure we were out there volunteering.
Speaking of young professionals, I definitely want to shout out one of my coworkers, Jerrica. Young lady, she really stepped up. You know, she just put a post up on Facebook one time asking for donations through some little Cash App I didn't even know about. You learn everything on social media.
Yeah.
But she collected a nice amount of money, like within an hour. And she took all of that money and went to Walmart and bought long sleeve shirts and bought blankets and all of that and took it straight down to the Civic Center. She was also trying to get people to come out and help serve the food and everything. So she really, and she didn't have to do that.
Shout,
you know, she did it on her own.
Amazing, you know, and it's unfortunate that we have to see a devastating event or be faced with a devastating event for, you know, the good side of people to show. Not saying that was her motivation, but what I'm saying is, if you just look at the country generally, when we're in a time of crisis, people forget about color, people forget about gender, people forget about religion. It's all about helping each other,
right? As
Why
it should
can't
be.
We be that America all the time.
Exactly.
Why can't we be that way all the time? Why can't we be sensitive to other people's concerns and issues? You know, this whole thing with the NFL players taking a knee, in which they have a constitutional right to do so. We've gone over that already. You may not agree with it, but they have a right to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have other soldiers and people that are serving our military saying, that's why I fought. I fought to preserve the Constitution and the rights of the United States and its citizens, and part of that is freedom of speech.
Right.
And it shouldn't be infringed upon. It's sad to me that we get caught up on small things like that, how someone chooses to protest. But ultimately, I think history gets it right. We get it right, just like we did with the brothers that when they won that Olympic gold medal and they stood there doing the national anthem with their fists in the air. You know, when they came home, they were ridiculed. They were called traitors. They were treated badly. They were not held as gold medal Olympian, but they had conviction and they had heart and they had what they knew the right was on their side.
Right.
And they knew that. And historically, when we think about our leaders and people who have made a big difference, Janae, I can only imagine. At the time of them going through that, they were not thinking, oh, I'm doing this so that history will say I stood up. You know what I'm saying? So that history will say I made a difference. They did it because they were moved to do it. Dr. King did it because he was moved to do it. Rosa Parks did it because she was moved to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harriet Tubman did it because she was moved to do it. Mary McLeod Bethune, she did it because she was moved to do it. Thurgood Marshall. He did it because it was the right thing to do.
Right.
Not because they wanted a lot of fifth graders reciting their name in the month of February, you know, as the icons and idols of Black History Month. That wasn't the reason why.
Yeah.
That's not why Kaepernick did it. That's not why other people joined him in that protest. They did it to bring light to an issue that is a real problem in our communities.
Mm-hmm. And I think the people that really are against it, they just either they don't understand what's going on or they don't want to understand it. Plain and simple.
Well, I think
we all
like
know it's
latter.
Not about the, huh?
I think it's more the latter. They don't want to understand.
Yeah, because anybody can plainly see it's not necessarily about the flag.
Right.
Like, no one wants to talk about why he actually chose to take a knee. And that's what it comes down to, the injustice in the black community.
It's the diversion. You know, let's talk about. You know?
And then they don't want to say how what? It just became a thing, what, in 2009,
right,
that they had
right,
to kneel
right,
for the flag. That
right,
wasn't even incorporated into the NFL.
Right.
Like, they didn't even come out half the times while it was the national anthem was being sang or played or whatever. This didn't happen until 2009. So why all of a sudden is it a big deal that he take a knee during the singing of the national anthem?
Well, and he first did that under the Obama administration. And mm-hmm, Obama made his comments about it, but Obama recognized his rights. Trump brought that up again in Alabama and Huntsville at a rally for a candidate who lost. And he knew what he was doing. He did that intentionally because part of his success as a president has been to drive division amongst the American people. Mm-hmm. If I can keep this group of folks over here on my side, I'm not worried about anybody else. And it's a well-known tactic in the art of war. You know, the best way to defeat your enemy is to keep them divided.
That's
keep
true,
them divided. And we can't, but we shouldn't be that way as Americans. Because we all walk on the same soil. We work on the same soil. We breathe, live, and eat on the same soil. And we have enough people out there internationally who desire to do us harm. You know, regardless of what group they're coming from, when those planes were flown into those towers on 9/11, those cowards, hijackers, they didn't wait to see who was in the building.
Not at all.
They didn't tell a certain race of people or a certain religion of people to clear the hallways. They did what they had to do. Want to know why? Because they knew that Americans in general would be in that building.
And on the planes. Yeah.
And that's exactly why they did it. So, you know, we certainly didn't intend to go too far down this path because we were talking about how well we come together as a people during a time of tragedy. And I just wish that we could maintain that same mindset all the time. You know,
I think it's progressing. I really do. And, just when you have tragedies in different situations that's coming up and seeing different people in different races stepping up, we got a long way to go.
Right.
But I do think that it is progressing. I think some people who may have thought a certain way at one point are now seeing things differently.
Right.
And they're starting to understand. And sometimes it has to be in their face. Sometimes something similar has to happen to them for them to say, oh, I get it. You know what I'm saying?
But
so I think we're progressing.
Look at what we've lost just for you to get that basic lesson of love and understanding.
Yeah.
In which too many folks claim to be Christians but don't practice Christian principles.
Well,
there's nothing God-like about hate and bigotry, mm-hmm, and divisiveness and separation and superiorism. There's nothing godly about that.
Not at all.
We're all his children. If you cut us, we're going to bleed the same color blood.
Well, we're going to talk about, of course, another unfortunate incident that took place last Sunday, to be exact, last Sunday night, the tragedy in Vegas. But before we get to more bad news, we definitely wanted to shout out everybody that was in town and came together for the big game.
Ooh,
you know, yesterday,
the Tuskegee Morehouse Classic.
Yeah, like, you know, we were talking about, it's just beautiful to see all of us come together and have a good time and enjoy the game and enjoy each other and the
yes,
food, and you know, just it was just a great time. So,
and congratulations to alumni from both institutions for helping to carry out the positive image of HBCUs,
mm-hmm,
and people educated from HBCUs and coming together under, you know, a sporting event, but showing good sportsmanship from everybody.
Definitely.
And having a great time.
And so we definitely wanted to just highlight that. And of course, everybody who's in the city, I like how a lot of the alumni for these schools, they come back every year.
Oh, well, Columbus is home.
Baby. We
come to the Valley. it goes down in the
I got a text message from a friend of mine who I met here. He was like, so I'm gonna be in on the 5th. So we need to hang out. I'm like, you coming back just for the game? He like, what?
Exactly.
I'm a Spencer Greenway for life. Okay. I said, okay, my
that's
bad.
Right. That's right.
My bad.
That's right. That's right. You know, and that's where the pride comes in of your school and the love for the people that you met, you know, while you were there. And mm-hmm. and it reminds us that life have seasons. And we all are going to live our various seasons. And school, whether it's high school or college, that's a season in our lives.
Yeah.
And even though we may move on to different phases, that doesn't mean we have to disconnect ourselves from the great people that we met throughout the journey.
Exactly.
And that's part of the journey, to make good friends, to make lasting friends. Show people your loyalty. Show people you can be trusted, and they will do the same to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you need somebody, you just never know. They'll be there for you.
I agree.
But you know, we're now through two of the major classics that goes on here in the Chattahoochee Valley. We've gotten through the Whitewater Classic, in which I will remind everybody that Albany State did beat Tuskegee in that game. And as an Albany State graduate, I just had to say that.
Oh, wow.
You know? and we've made it through the Tuskegee-Morehouse Classic. Now we're on our way to the Fountain City Classic.
Yes. When is
that?
With
the great Chairman Calvin Smyre. That's your buddy there, ain't it?
It is. He was up at the station earlier this week, you know, doing some last-minute things for the Fountain City Classic.
Get it together.
Yeah,
get
he
it together.
Was getting ready. I said, all right, together, now, Mr.
You know, Smyre. You know, you have to honestly say it without hesitation, that it was his vision, along with some others and his leadership, that made this possible for this area. And it's truly been a blessing for the Columbus area from a perspective of economic development, filling hotel rooms, people eating at our restaurants,
definitely,
folks going to our bars, folks visiting downtown. You know,
folks coming to the city that may have never been to the city of Columbus before.
Exactly.
Whether they're coming back,
exactly,
who's from here, a spouse, a friend. It's definitely bringing people into the city.
Absolutely. And, you know, and eventually I would love to see the city show greater appreciation for that. And let's work collectively to renovate McClellan Stadium. You know, it's a little outdated now, and you know, from my understanding, back in the day, UGA and Auburn used to come here and play in that same stadium, but we couldn't dare be able to host or hold the crowd of a UGA Auburn game now. You know.
Oh wait, is that the game that was just played in Atlanta at the new stadium? Was that the college game? Is that the matchup you're talking about?
Well, I don't think that was the particular matchup. They do play a lot of college games.
It was a college game that was it. Yeah.
They do play quite a bit. They start the season there. You know, a lot of times the SEC championship is held there.
Okay.
So you'll see SEC teams coming back there to play. But there's room for, you know, even other collegiate bowl games. I mean, Montgomery hosts a bowl game. So those are some things I think we really need to look at in regards to making sure that Columbus remains relevant moving forward. You know, and making sure we stay on the scene of these sporting events. We're excited about that.
Yeah.
We're excited about everything and the Fountain City Classic and the classes we have here. We want them to stay. We do want them to stay.
Yes, indeed. So, again, we just want to say, you know, thank you to everybody who came through the city. Hopefully you enjoyed the Tri-City, and hopefully you'll be back next week or next month for the Fountain City Classic.
That's right.
And
November the 4th.
November 4th, you got the day. I knew it was like the
November
first the Saturday 4th. In the.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, the first year I was here was on my mom's birthday. And she was like, you gonna go to the game? I was like, what? No, I'm gonna bring you down here. But anyway, so yeah, we'll come back and talk a little bit about the tragedy that unfolded in Vegas, in Sin City. We all got some opinions on that. So don't go nowhere. It's Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee
and Teddy Reese.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation. It's Janae Renee.
And Teddy Reese.
Again, thank you to everyone who came through for the Tuskegee Morehouse game and all of the festivities that took place in the city over the weekend. Make sure you come on back and tell a friend to tell a friend. Make Columbus one of your favorite cities to come to. And speaking of favorite cities, Las Vegas, Nevada, Teddy.
One of my favorite cities.
One of my favorite, just ooh, quick weekend getaway with my girls. Like, Vegas.
I don't gamble, but there's so much to do.
I do gamble, but I never gamble in Vegas because there's so much stuff to do.
You know, I'm all out there at Hoover Dam. I'm jet skiing at Lake Mead.
Oh, I'm partying.
Taking helicopter rides.
I'm partying. And it to me, it as a female, it caters to us, because I'm telling you, you could just be walking down the street and it's like, oh, come here tonight. You get to get in free. You get to drink free. You get to do it. It caters to women, but it's a nice weekend trip. You can get decent flights there to fly in on a Friday, come back Sunday, go, you know, come back Monday. It's just a really good, quick trip. So,
and Las Vegas is what I consider to be one of America's great accomplishments.
Okay.
And I say that because that whole area is pretty much desert and is desolate. Mm-hmm. Had not they dammed the Colorado River to create Lake Mead, then you wouldn't have the water source available to sustain life for those people out there in the middle of that desert, which we know as Las Vegas. So, you know, when I hear what we can't do as a country, when I hear we can't get Puerto Rico help fast enough and things like that, you know, it disgusts me, because we're the country that dammed the Colorado River to create Las Vegas. We're the country that put a man on the moon, you know, to explore outer space. And you mean to tell me we can't get light poles and generators to an island? Like, when did the ocean become a challenge? But anyway, Las Vegas.
That's another show.
Las Vegas. You know, we would be naive if we don't admit that this tragedy is going to put a stain on that city.
Oh, definitely. You know, I've already had that conversation.
And just to be clear, 50-plus people are confirmed dead.
Mm-hmm. And 500 injured.
And this is the deadliest, most modern deadliest shooting, mass shooting in American history. And I say most modern because history don't change because people choose to forget it.
Exactly.
During Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in the day, over 300 black people were slaughtered.
And what about the in East St. Louis? I think it was close to 150 were killed.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, it definitely is, like you said, probably the most modern one in history. And I just want to say, I know you mentioned it put a damper on the city of Las Vegas, but it also puts a damper on just going to an outdoor concert or going to a concert in general, because, you know, they said the suspect, Stephen Paddock, he originally the week before tried to book a hotel close to a Chance the Rapper and Lord concert.
Oh, I didn't. Really?
Yeah, like the week before, but for whatever reason, he couldn't get a room near that. So they do not know if that was going to be his first intended target. They don't know, but he tried to book a room. So that definitely would have been a concert full of a lot of diversity. Let's just say that.
Right, a lot.
So it just makes you fearful of going. It's putting fear in a lot of people to even go anywhere. And I was talking to one of my coworkers, because this is still bothering me a week later, being that I've been in, you know, Vegas. I've stayed next door to the Mandalay Bay. Like, I've walked past it. I've been in the inside of it. And you know how at any given time in Vegas, the streets are packed. I don't care what time of day it is in Vegas. It's people everywhere. So the panic that had to ensue, because one, it's dark. Two, you're next to thousands of people. Three, you don't know where these shots are coming from.
And
so
the music
The music is, because they don't know. People thought it was fireworks.
Yeah.
So, but even if you, when you realize that it's a gun, and you know, people say duck, drop down. You're still not safe because you don't know where it's coming from.
You don't know where it's coming from, and you're sitting out there in the middle of it, and bullets are just raining down on you.
That just, it bothers me, because I'm just thinking about the people and what had to be going through their mind at that moment. Like, I'm not gonna survive this.
Right.
Because it's really an open area, so people are just running, and then he was on the 32nd floor just basically shooting down.
Right. Just shooting out.
Anybody was just fair game to shoot.
And had 29 guns in his room.
And that's just in his room. We're not going to talk about how many was at the house.
12 of them had this bumper device that they're talking about, which allowed the guns that he were using to basically act like an automatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he pulling the trigger one time, and there's tons of bullets just flying out of the barrel.
Right.
And, you know, and experts have said at the rate in which he was shooting, he had so many guns because guns, even though you can use them like that, those barrels heat up and they begin to deform. So, you know, once the barrel begins to bend, it gets too hot, you can't use it anymore. So that's when he would, you know, when he had the potential to go to another gun. And he had a camera set up outside his door on a room service cart and on his peek hole. So that he could see when the police officers were coming. This was definitely a planned attack. And with what you just reported to me about what he tried to do eventually, I mean,
beforehand, right?
It kind of indicates that he didn't care who his target was because of country music. Is nowhere country Nick a concert is a totally different demographic than a Chance the Rapper
right?
Those are two totally different different demographics, and it would have made for a different narrative. And I wish to God none of this wouldn't have happened, but I am certainly thankful to God that that didn't happen. Because that would have been the camel, probably the straw that breaks the camel's back as it relates to race relations in this country. We are at such a high tension right now.
Anything can set it over.
We do not have national leadership that is working to diffuse this tension that Donald Trump has raised. I mean, to go over there and tell the Puerto Ricans that you put our budget out of whack? No, sir. And your executives taking flights on private planes put our budget out of whack.
What did he say? Because I just can't really watch too much. When I see Donald Trump on television, I just really don't. I turn it off. But I caught a glimpse of him saying that it was a miracle because they didn't lose as many people as Hurricane Katrina. Did you really just call this a miracle?
He called it a miracle.
I'm confused, sir. Like, what about this situation in Puerto Rico is a miracle? And then the final straw, although some may see it as he was joking, I don't see how, you are throwing out paper towels.
Throwing supplies
to the people that are in need, that are basically at your feet. Needing this stuff, begging for this stuff.
Like you're tossing t-shirts at a hockey or football game. Like you're throwing miniature footballs at a football game.
Are you serious? Are you kidding me?
Are you serious? No person with a heart would do that. It takes a heartless and gutless individual to treat people like that. And then the fact that his supporters see nothing wrong with it. How can you not see anything wrong with this? And if you don't see anything wrong with it, then there's something wrong with you.
Yep.
That's not patriotic.
Yep.
That's not American life. Our founding fathers would not have wanted that. They would have wanted people to be treated like people, American citizens to be treated like American citizens. They would want Lady Liberty to wrap her arms around people in need that are American citizens, not kick them. And that's what our president's doing. He's kicking the folks that are down. And that's just not cool.
And his supporters see nothing wrong with it. That's what gets me.
So, you know, just go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just getting back on the Vegas situation. I don't know if he's even said anything about the Vegas thing, but there's so many questions that have been coming up. Of course, all the conspiracies, there was more than one shooter. You know, why didn't the hotel let him walk in with all of these guns? And I'm pretty sure how he got in with the guns, I'm pretty sure he had them in luggage. Because you know at hotels, you just walk in, there's no security. So now it begs the question, they were asking on the news yesterday, I think I was watching it, should hotels have security checkpoints now? And I'm like, everything is just going to be tainted.
Mm-hmm.
You have this in your mind that you're not safe. They wanted to put in our minds that we're not safe anywhere anymore. And that's hurtful. I don't want to live in a society or in a world where I just don't feel safe wherever I go, whether it's to a concert, whether I walk in a hotel, whether I walk in an airport, whether I walk in the mall. Like, it's just, I don't want that fear in me every day, all day. So it's right. So many questions that need to be. Of course, everybody's talking about gun laws and things like that. And how did he get all of these guns? And it's so much that we can It's so many questions that we can ask. Again, you and I will never have the answers to everything.
And
mental health is coming in. We
can't secure everything either.
Exactly.
Security checks at hotels, we can't secure anything. What we got to do is we got to stop fooling ourselves about who the potential enemy is. Hmm. We've had several incidents now that involve Caucasian males killing people, and we have yet to hear the word terrorist applied to any of them.
Nope.
You know, it was so important to our president that people of the Muslim faith be referred to as Islamic radical terrorists. However, we have radical terrorists right here in America, and we don't identify them as such. That's part of the problem, because when we change our mindset, we'll begin to look at things differently. Now versus looking at somebody and automatically giving them a pass as an individual that wouldn't qualify to be dangerous, we will just give everyone the same courtesy look. I mean, I remember traveling on flights after 9/11. It was the most paranoid thing to do. Mm-hmm. Tensions was high going through security. You look around the plane, all of us been brainwashed on, you know, just told that these people here are no good for us. I'm watching folks, you know, with headscarves on and everything. I had to catch myself. Why am I doing this? We all should keep a general eye. But don't watch right. One person, because when you focus on one thing, you're going to miss something else. That's really
somebody
the issue.
That's over there doing right.
I mean, who's cleaning this room and didn't see 29 guns in there? Because they say he had been there since Wednesday.
Yeah, I was going to say Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
You know, somebody potentially saw it and said, oh, it's okay because he's an older white guy. He's not a threat. You know, and so... We just, as people, I think we got to be more diligent in how we think about where issues may arise and how we address them. And we have to be open to thinking that potentially those who have painted themselves as not being the enemy or the threat could potentially be the threat.
Right, because when you look at it, and I, being a part of media, and I see what people say when they say certain media describes certain people certain ways, because just about every article that has been posted about him, it basically says no sign of any problems with suspect Stephen Paddock.
He was a
multimillionaire. He gambled and he liked country music. I just can't believe this happened. But then when it's another of our race in particular, it's he was arrested back in 1996.
Previously convicted, like, you know.
He didn't even kill anybody.
Right.
He didn't even, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
and I have we have seen stories with people with no prior arrest history. Like the dude that was shot on the interstate exit in Florida, the musician.
Yeah.
He was on his way from church practice
mm-hmm.
and was found dead. You know, no criminal history or anything like that. But they found the one picture they could find with him in a hoodie.
Yeah.
And that's the one that went
that's
around
the one
entire
that ran
country.
Around media.
You know, even though this man had tons of photos of him at church in suits and everything else, how dare we portray
picture.
A minority young man in a suit? You know, it's just we got to challenge these people. To treat everybody fairly and let the justice system do its job. You know, we can't be poisoning the jury pool because we have preconceived notions on.
Well, then see, we can say let justice do its job, but justice isn't doing the job. That's the problem. I was reading an article the other day where and I can't remember where it was at, but a judge, a young white girl, she was in college, apparently took some drugs and ended up stabbing her boyfriend. I can't remember if he died or not, but she stabbed him multiple times. And he had called the police and everything. A judge decided, I think the prosecutor wanted to give her jail time. A judge said, no, I don't want to mess up your bright future. We're just going to give you a little probation.
Because she was at
an
Ivy League school.
Ivy League school.
Uh-huh.
And she was of a certain race. Uh-huh. Let's go just say that was a young black girl. I'm 95% sure it would not have went that way.
It would not.
That young lady would be in jail right now.
It would, and people
so
like
that's
that.
The justice center. That's
people
the justice
like
that system. That judge
to be on the bench.
So how is he on the bench? But how do you get him off the bench? You know what I'm saying?
In which I hate to keep having to go back to. It's important that people particularly in the minority community vote.
But how do, my thing, and I know because we don't really have much time, but the thing is with that, how do you get them to do it and stand up for something? Not even that. It was another article where they were talking about the restaurant Denny's. In the restaurant, the waitresses were making the black people pay for their food before the cook even started cooking at the request of a manager because some black people run out on their tabs. How this went viral, a white couple posted it on Facebook saying what had happened and how it was unfair and how they didn't have to pay for their food until after they ate and sat there and then went and checked out. But I can guarantee you, black people read that article, said, oh, that's so messed up, F Denny's, and went right in Denny's for that $2 special, that $3 special the next day.
But, you know, it also highlights something else, and that's why I don't like getting into the they versus we. Because they try to blanket people of all races the same way, and I don't think that that's right. Because there are some good white people out there.
Oh, definitely.
I have tons of amazing white friends who have been there for me through thick and thin, and I love them. And I would venture to say they love me, too.
Yeah.
You know, and they are good people. That's why we have to be careful about the conversations that we have and the way that we have them. But, Janae, the thing is, when it comes to this justice system that you were just talking about, if we don't have people actively engaged, we're going to have issues, and we're going to continue to have issues.
I agree with that. So, but my question was, I was giving it as an example. My question was, how do we get them to say enough? How do we get our community to say enough is enough? You're not going to continue to disrespect me. I'm pretty sure that ain't the first time that judge did something crazy, but he still keeps getting in. He still keeps getting reelected.
Right, and you're right, and that's a problem. And you know, I would love to hear from some of our listeners on how is enough is when is enough enough. I mean, you know how to reach me. You know how to reach Janae. We're all over social media. My page is public. Anybody can pull me up.
Send a message.
Send me
everything,
a message. We want to hear from you, and we would love
because
for you to come up
it.
Here and talk with us about this because we must figure out a way to engage our young people. And a prime example is Birmingham and Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson, Mississippi just elected a 34-year-old African-American attorney as the mayor. That is the capital city of Mississippi. Birmingham, Alabama just elected a 36-year-old African-American attorney as their mayor. Mm-hmm. Good fan. Good guy. He and I served as SGA presidents together. He was at Morehouse out at Albany State. We were at the HBCU think tank together at Tennessee State University. And he's a great man of Alpha Phi Alpha.
Is he married, Teddy?
Yes, he's married. Dang. I'm sorry.
I saw a picture. I don't mean to go off subject, but I saw a picture of him. I was like, hey, man.
I'm not about to engage in that conversation with you, but brother is married. He's a good alpha man.
Dang, okay.
And he has previous leadership in which, you know, seemed like we would be more supportive of folks with previous leadership.
Definitely.
But those young people in those cities, they figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they got engaged, and somehow they got routed to do what needed to be done, and they did it.
And so we need that to continue not only in this city, but other cities across the world. Like, it just, people need to get it. And don't get me wrong, I do think that this younger generation is stepping up, and they are coming together more than ever. So I think it's coming, but we need it to come a little bit faster. We needed to be just a little bit faster.
Just a little bit faster.
So we can, yeah.
But as I've said before, Janae, I refuse to give up. I refuse to give in.
Ditto today.
And I refuse to let go because even though we sit in a period of darkness, we know the sun shall rise again.
All right. Great way to end it. I feel like we was just jumping all over. It's just so much to talk about.
There's so much to talk about.
We won't have enough, you know, in these 30 minutes.
No,
but
we
tried to.
But it's been a great conversation.
Yeah, we tried to get out as much as we can. And we got more conversation for you next Sunday. So make sure you are tuned in with us. And don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's been Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee.
And Teddy Reese.
Talk to you next week.